Our science correspondent George Lee. And George, we had Drs. Maguire and O'Donoghue there outlining some of the difficulties that GPs have been facing, and difficulties, it seems, around the delivery network and the communication of the delivery. Important to say, isn't it, this isn't about the AstraZeneca supply issues. This is around the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines.
Well, that's right, Mary, because the AstraZeneca vaccine is not being given to people over the age of 70, and the GPs are administering their vaccines to people over the age of 70. So they are dealing with the Pfizer and Moderna, mainly Pfizer, because that's where the main supply is, but in some cases Moderna. And there are difficulties in terms of the logistics of transporting that, whether it's the temperature or the fact that it comes in these boxes with multiple, you don't get one or two, you get a very big batch of vaccines that you have to deliver. So there are complications in it. Now, Paul Reid, who's the chief executive of the HSE, he said yesterday that he is acknowledging that there are many frustrations. But he says that in terms of the ones that they're dealing with this week, that there are about between 20 and 25 practices that there have been significant concerns, such, I presume, he was talking about the kind of concerns you've just heard from the two GPs on there. But he said that that they are dealing with them, and that they were very frustrating, but that overall there were about 65 practices out of the order of 1,300 GP practices who did not find somebody that they could buddy up with, and that they're dealing with that. So they're working on these issues. He also said that they're dealing with the problem with supply, and that a lot of their difficulties relate to stuff like that. They're not in control of all of those things, but they have enhanced the support network, this is what he said, related to dealing with these GPs. So hopefully there'll be some improvement in the week ahead.
All right, George, let's move on to some of the detail from the NPHET briefing yesterday. Let's hear first from Professor Philip Nolan on what he was calling constant but slower progress.
Reproduction numbers seems to have been more or less constant for the last 3 weeks. And if anything, it's slightly lower this week than the preceding week, but the uncertainty is high. So we're saying this week, as last week, that it's somewhere between 0.6 and 0.9, and if anything, slightly lower than it was last week. So we're seeing continued slower but constant progress against all indicators. Incidence does remain high, but all indicators are decreasing. We're maintaining this really challenging suppression and giving us a stable rate of decline. So case numbers should have, if everything remains the same, every 18 to 36 days with a stable or decreasing reproduction number. And we are seeing emerging evidence of the protective effect of vaccination.
George, all the indicators are good. They're going slowly in the right direction. But they seem worried about an element of fatigue kicking in here.
Well, all of the indicators, as you say, are continuing to improve. In fact, if anything, in the last week, there has been an improvement in the overall indicators. You know, the rate at which the case numbers have been going down week on week has increased. The positivity rate in terms of tests has begun to come down, although it's still at a relatively high level. You're looking at close contacts. They're at a very high level. They're worried about them insofar as the number of people in households who pick up the disease from somebody else in the household, so the transmission within a household, it's very, very high in terms of the positivity rate. It's just over 32%. They're concerned about that. It is related to the fact that this variant is very transmissible, the new variant that's there. And outside of ordinary households, family households, the transmission on close contacts, again, it's well over 24% or thereabouts. And so they're concerned about how much it spreads. But apart from that, the efforts that people are making, I think they have acknowledged them over the past week, and they are impressed with them. They see the headlines to some extent of people slipping up, but they say that that's not really what's happening. The mobility indicators remain low, and an extraordinary effort is what Philip Nolan said it's evidence of. And that in terms of the overall case numbers, that they continue to come down. So they're not down on that, but they are very concerned about the fact that if people do let up their efforts, that this thing can take off quite quickly again.
Okay. Now, we did hear as well that there won't be any recommendations around face masks for children under the age of 13, and we might speak more about that if we have time. But I want to come from what was, I think, a surprise from the Deputy Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Ronan Glynn, yesterday, when he outlined the details of four cases of still stillbirths among pregnant women who had contracted COVID-19. Let's hear him.
We've been made aware through various coroners of four reports stillbirths that possibly linked with a condition called COVID placentitis, which is effectively an infection of the placenta leading to stillbirth. But as I said in the press release, these reports are preliminary. The coroners have not concluded their findings, but in view of the emerging reports, the HSE's National Women, Children and Infants Programme has communicated with obstetrics departments around the country, and we're reporting two of those through our reporting system this evening. But as I say, we are aware of four reports in total.
Four reports, George. He was very careful and very cautious around that detail, and of course hundreds of births during the period of this pandemic, successful births of healthy babies, but worrying nonetheless.
Oh, worrying, because it came out of the blue, Mary. It wasn't expected. This was information which came to NPHET that they did not have before their meeting yesterday, so they weren't in a position to discuss it. But they did feel that they were obliged to inform the public that they had been informed about these cases, because there was some concern, and there's an investigation obviously ongoing with the coroner to make sure and to be sure about exactly that these were linked to the infection of a placenta by the COVID-19 among people. Now, he said that there were four cases, but he also said that there were at least two of those cases were since the beginning of this year. And that means it's a new phenomenon, and that is kind of worrying, I suppose. And that's where you get the experts in the field saying, look, be very cautious about this, because they haven't seen it before. Now, the issue for pregnant women is that one wonders, and many of them will wonder, should they not be a higher priority in relation to vaccinations? Now, and I put that, and obviously because when you think about the flu vaccine, they are a priority for the flu vaccine. We know also that even before this incident, this news about this COVID plus placentitis, that pregnant women were likely and at higher risk of getting more severe disease from COVID-19. But I put it to the Deputy Chief Medical Officer about the issue, about maybe some consideration might be given to putting pregnant women on a higher priority list for vaccination. And he said no, that really it's far too soon to do anything like that. This is very preliminary, that really the only things that pregnant women can do are what they're doing already, which is to be very safe, to continue to adhere to all of the public health messages, and of course to liaise with their doctor if they have concerns.
Sure.
And so it is a worrying development, but we will have to watch it. They haven't got enough scientific information on it yet, and it is something that we will hear more about, I guess, in the weeks ahead. But the fact that it's new, that's very alarming.
George Lee, our science correspondent, thank you very much, and we